This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up today at 6 on 1A+, the United States needs more truckers with driver shortages now at an all-time high. What does the road ahead look like for the industry? That plus the latest in Ukraine coming up today at 6 on 1A+. Now, if you can remember way back to the start of the pandemic, you might recall the toilet paper buying frenzy and aisles of empty shelves at the grocery store. We're 2 years into the pandemic, and some consumers are still stockpiling. They're buying food in larger volumes and in bigger packages. Plus, memberships are up at bulk retailers like Costco and Sam's Club. Some retail experts say the pandemic has permanently changed the way we shop. What does that mean? We're taking a look at consumer behavior, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Did you change the way you buy stuff? Buy for the next 2 weeks instead of 1 week? Buy lots of product X instead of a little bit? Did it change it for a little while and you went back to normal? Or has it been a permanent change? Do you still stockpile toilet paper, food, other household goods? Did you get a membership to one of those bulk retailer clubs? Did you switch to online only or lots of online where you didn't before? Or how about drive up or delivery where you hadn't tried it out before? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Nancy Wong is a professor of consumer science at UW-Madison. Nancy, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
We've seen some different reports out there, Nancy. Retailers, analysts thought, okay, bulk buying, we'll be nuts with it for a while, but we'll settle back into normal. But apparently, a lot of us are continuing to stockpile some key things, food and household goods. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think the end effect of, I think, stockouts at supermarket places and retail store chains is a natural outcome of many things. However, I think the psychology behind that has changed from 2 years ago to what we're currently seeing. 2 years ago, at the start of the pandemic, I think people were just engaged in panic buying in response to any kind of sort of lockdown and unusual kind of restrictions and activities. So that was a natural behavior, and it has been consistent with any kind of catastrophic events such as, flooding and typhoons or any of that natural events. However, I think the behavior that we're seeing now is stockpiling, and I think that is a rational response to all the supply chain hiccups that we have currently, and also the fluctuations in prices and uncertainties. I think that is a very natural behavior.
Well, and I also wonder, if I buy more stuff on this shopping trip, I can put off the next shopping trip longer and minimize, especially during the peak times of the pandemic, maybe minimize my visits to the store. Is that another maybe logical reason we're buying lots at a time?
For sure, because, especially with each wave of the infection rate, that is coming up and going down, I think, across the country, that clearly also contributes to this kind of behavior. But I think people are less concerned about exposure these days as compared to just responding to the uncertainty of supplies, because given the rate of inflation in food prices and many other products, a logical thing is that if you have the storage capacity and you have the opportunity to take advantage of bulk buying, you would do so. And that contributes to the rise in membership and, I think, warehouse clubs.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Conrad is with us in Dubuque. Conrad, hi.
Hi. I've been somewhat stockpiling non-perishable foods. Most people don't realize that the average item at a grocery store travels about 1,300 miles to get there. And if there's problems with the supply chain, those shelves are empty in 3 days. I think it's not because of a pandemic or anything. I think we're headed into a global monetary collapse. And when truckers aren't sure whether they're going to get paid or not, that supply chain stops.
Conrad, thanks for the call. Even if things aren't as dire, Nancy, as Conrad is worried about, there are supply chain problems that people are worried about. So that might be another thing that would lead people to buy a little bit extra, right?
Absolutely, because you are never sure that the items that you depend on, it's going to be there on your next visit to the grocery store. So if you actually see something on the shelf, you would buy more than usual just in case that you won't see it again next time you shop.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Nancy Wong, professor of consumer science at UW-Madison, looking at the ways the pandemic changed the way we shop, an initial wave, maybe, as Nancy was saying, of panic buying in the early days of the pandemic, but some longer-term changes out there, too, in the way people stock up on some goods. You can join in with your practices, your experience at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Billy is with us in Ladysmith. Billy, hi.
Hi, let me turn down the radio. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing today, Billy? What do you want to tell us about?
Well, I've been buying toilet paper. I mean, you got to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been buying toilet paper, and but I do believe, and I'm not an alarmist, but I do believe that this whole thing in Europe, 6 days ago, basically World War III started, and everybody, I think 90% of the people don't even realize that. And saying this, I say this, I had an opportunity to watch all this unfold. He's not stopping in Ukraine. There's no dealing with him. The oil's going up 9% today. The commodities and the grains are up. Everything's up. Hyperinflation is enacted, and he's playing a poker match that's 3 weeks ahead of everybody.
Billy, thanks for the call. Nancy, the Russian invasion of Ukraine, another element of uncertainty for shoppers here.
Oh, most definitely, because I think a lot of the times we stockpile, it's a very instinctive behavior in response to uncertainties in the environment. There is this sort of like bunker mentality almost that you need to sort of stay someplace safe and stock up.
Thanks for that call. But at the beginning of the pandemic, Nancy, it was kind of there was a self-fulfilling prophecy in some ways. Once the panic started and everybody started buying too much of something, then we emptied the shelves. We created the shortage we were hoping to avoid. That seems like something that isn't happening as much now, right?
It certainly isn't, which is why I feel that the current stockpiling behavior is in response to all these other environmental uncertainties that we are being reminded of every day.
Now, I've talked to you in the past, Nancy, about those membership club stores, the Costco's and Sam's Clubs of the world. Do you see more people turning to those as they want to buy more things in bulk?
Absolutely. I should think so, because since they do offer good value if you have the capacity to actually buy ahead, especially given the uncertainty of supplies in many of these sort of non-perishable items. So those places would be a logical place to turn to.
I seem to recall, though, you regretted buying something like a gallon of guacamole at one point. We've got to be careful in our consumer decisions when we buy in bulk.
Absolutely. But that's why I mentioned non-perishables.
Sure. We're talking to consumer psychologist Nancy Wong from UW-Madison, looking at changes in consumer behavior since the start of the pandemic. Some studies showing that we're still stocking up on a lot of things, as we've heard, for a variety of reasons. Have you changed the way you shop? Did you stock up on things a lot at first of the pandemic and get back to normal some as time went on? Did you change how you shop, where you shop, whether you go to a place to get a thing or you order that thing to come to you? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk with UW-Madison consumer psychologist Nancy Wong about bulk buying and hoarding, how shopping habits are shifting now a couple years into the pandemic. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you changed the way you shop, especially for your day-to-day or week-to-week needs? Love to hear your story. Call 800-642-1234. Do you work at or own a grocery store? What have you seen coming in the door and going out the door? Call 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let us know how people in your life are shopping. Let's go back to your calls now. Matt is with us in Nisida. Matt, hi.
Hey there. I think it's interesting that the people who were typically ridiculed in the past for quote-unquote prepping or being doomsday nuts, so to speak, were motivated by the worldview that a lot more people are coming around to, that society is probably just a little bit more fragile than people like to think about. And so the response to be a little more prepared is a pretty rational response, which, you know, we're seeing now. So I don't think there's anything unusual about it. I just think that, you know, a certain group of people probably have been doing this for quite a while, and I think it's a normal thing.
Yeah, Matt, do you consider yourself, if I may ask, a prepper, or if you don't want to put a label on yourself, do you kind of shop and buy and stock up on things with that in mind?
Yeah, I don't know if I call myself, you know, a
sure.
prepper, quote unquote, but absolutely. I guess, you know, it just kind of depends on your worldview. Do you trust that the things that we need on a regular basis will always be available, or do you not? And if you don't, might want to have a week or so, whatever your number is, of those items on hand. So.
Matt, thanks a lot for sharing that. I appreciate it at 800-642-1234. Nancy, I mean, we're hearing this from a lot of our callers, I think, that if they had faith previously in the flow of goods around the world and into our stores, it's been shaken for a lot of people.
Yes, definitely. I think that reference to, I think, being a prepper, certainly, I guess, the preppers perhaps have a higher need for sort of certainty and about the environment that they started to prepare for, I think, any kind of perceived, I think, threats in the environment that they are anticipating. And I think the average persons are perhaps a bit more tolerant of that kind of risk that gets heightened, I think, during the last 2 years that we live under, first starting with the pandemic and now all the other current events that have been happening around us all contributed to all these behavior.
Thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. John joins us now in Eau Claire. John, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
Sure. I guess my observation would be maybe a little less on like the prepping, but I think, you know, historically we've seen like, I don't know, cash is a good store of value. And I think what we're seeing is that people are much more likely to just stock up on quantity 10, quantity 15 of items, just because they know through inflation that they're probably going to have, you know, less buying power in the future. So they're just pulling demand forward. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. John, thanks for sharing that. Nancy, do you see inflation shaping the way people shop? As John says, if I could buy it now, my dollar's going a little further than if the price keeps going up, then it will be in a couple months.
Absolutely. That, again, is very rational behavior. I think in the past, I think grocery stores used to have these kind of forward buying sort of like enticements for the shoppers, in the sense that I think shoppers tend to stock up on things that are on sale this week, knowing that, you know, it would be on regular price again for the next 2 weeks. So I think over time, people actually time their stockpiling behavior ahead of time to actually tide them over during this period of what we call normal pricing. And in this case, it would be anticipating that price increase in the next, you know, 2 weeks before they have to stock up again. Yes.
Thanks for that call, John. We're talking to Nancy Wong, professor of consumer science at UW-Madison, looking at the ways that our buying habits have changed during the pandemic, whether we're more prone to stock up a little bit or a lot on those necessary products for our daily lives. Still time for your call, by the way, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Did the pandemic, has the last couple of years changed the way you do your grocery and other necessity type shopping? Do you stock up more? Do you do one big trip instead of a bunch of little ones? Are there things you get online now that you never thought you would have? Or maybe you still use the curbside service that got a lot more used? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Nancy, one angle we haven't talked about is that during the pandemic, a decent chunk of the population shifted to working at home, all or part-time. Other people stopped working, so they're at home. cooking more food at home, using more toilet paper at home instead of the workplace, what have you. Did that change our buying trends? Just the fact that we were at the house or the apartment a lot more than we might have been.
Absolutely. I can relate to that myself. I think we certainly shop for groceries more regularly than ever before because we tend to cook more and we stay home more and we consume a lot of things at home than we are less likely to go out and visit restaurants and even at the office. So definitely.
One of the questions I've been wondering about since the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of people dip their toes into online buying who might not have otherwise. And I've been wondering, are they going to keep doing it? Or, you know, with when the fear of immediate contagion is passed, will they just go back to the stores? Is that something you're watching? What are we seeing so far?
I think it's 50-50. I think some people discovered the convenience and the wonderful, you know, delivery services that they realize that it is much better to just order things online. But I think there's also a segment of the population that really enjoy going to the grocery stores and being able to touch and feel, especially the produce that they want to buy. I think the downside of home delivery is the lack of control over, you know, the quality of the produce that you can pick up.
Yeah, I don't know that I like enjoy grocery shopping. I do all of our grocery shopping and I do prefer being able to go in and do it in person, even if, you know, bad songs playing in the grocery store gets stuck in my head. Is there something about the in-person experience that just isn't going to go away?
I don't think so. Yes. I think, you know, so long as the risk and the inconvenience of going to the stores are becoming more, I think, bearable or acceptable, I think people would go back to the stores because there's something very personal and experiential about food shopping that you just don't get from having online deliveries. It is possible to get, you know, the non-perishables and your toilet paper and things of that nature being delivered. But I think when it comes to food items and produce, I think being able to touch and feel the items that you're going to eat is important.
Now, flipping things around, we've been talking about the consumers for the most part. Have you seen our grocery stores changing to meet these changing demands of their consumers who want to stock up on stuff?
Yes and no, I believe. I think, again, the non-perishables for sure. I think grocery stores are certainly responding to that, and there are a lot more items that are available for this kind of delivery and pickup. But I also see stores responding with many more of these, I think, in-person purchases that are freshly, I think, made and produced in the takeaway, I think, counters that I think I've seen that expand considerably.
Are there any other periods of history with big changes in consumer behavior like this that you might compare this last couple of years to?
That is a good question. I haven't really quite thought about it. I don't think we have ever faced this kind of, I think, drastic changes in recent years. I think for the longest time, I think food retail and grocery shopping is a fairly, I think, stable market. This is, I don't think there is any parallel that I can think of easily.
So what kind of things are you still curious about, wondering what's going to stick around, what kind of change? What are some of the big open questions for you right now when it comes to consumer psychology?
I think it's a similar question that you have been asking. Are we going to go back to normal, like quote unquote, the way we shop prior to the pandemic, or are we going to, is this going to lead to more permanent change in our behavior? I think those are the big questions. And I think the jury is still out on that one. I think there are certain ways of shopping that probably are here to stay. And there are some that probably would go back to the way we prefer in the past.
And I want to ask, you're a professor, you have kind of a captive audience and your students there. What kind of things do you hear from mostly a younger generation about how they think about the kind of shopping issues we've been talking about?
That's really interesting. I think they probably are enjoying, a lot of the students probably take it as a way to socialize. And I think they seem to be a lot more activities that centered around food and gifting using food that they prepare. And so I think a lot of emphasis on making your own food. And also, so I think that part of, I think, the social aspect of, I think, grocery shopping and preparing meals, I think it's actually a very, I think, nice change. I think our positive people bond over food more than they did before.
And Nancy, we ruled out the guacamole by the gallon. Is there a particular product that you tend to buy in bulk? I'll admit, I've always done toilet paper in bulk when I could afford to. A sign of adulthood for me was never having to run out to buy a single roll of toilet paper. That's my, I'm going to buy a big thing of it. Is there something like that from you, food or otherwise?
Definitely. I think bulk buying for non-perishables is probably here to stay if we have the capacity to, you know, buy them, because they clearly make sense in terms of convenience and possibly value as well. But in terms of perishables, and I think there is actually, again, I think increasing demand over, I think, artisan, organic, and better made food rather than something that is mass produced. And I think people are less likely to stock up on those items. So I think maybe we shop in two kinds of categories now, and they are very different.
Nancy, we'll leave it there. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Nancy Wong is professor of consumer science at UW-Madison. She joined us for a look at how shopping behavior is evolving during the pandemic. Oh, carrots, too. I'll buy a lot of carrots because I'm going to eat the carrots before they go bad. That's no problem.